everyone. Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. This is the place to come when you want to have some fun. My name is Rebecca. Most of the time when someone asks a question, we think that an answer must follow the question, right? Well, yesterday we learned about a very special question that doesn't need an answer. And what kind of question is that? Yes, that's right. It's a rhetorical question. So today's lesson, we are continuing from yesterday, is called, What Kind of Question Is That? And the question I have for you is, what is a frequent use of a rhetorical question? What is a frequent use of a rhetorical question? Friends, I know you can find the answer to this question, so open up those magazines and let's begin.
What kind of question is that? There is another frequent use of a rhetorical question. You can start a sentence with a negative word and a question when you mean something positive. You can say, Isn't this a wonderful day? Wasn't that a fantastic concert? You mean the day is wonderful and the concert was fantastic. You don't expect anyone to answer you. Parents also use them to scold their children. How many times have I told you to put your books away? What part of no don't you understand?
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看的是 frequent 这个形容词。Frequent 是指常发生的或者是频繁的。例如 the most frequent cause of conflicts between the couple is their different ways of wanting to educate their kids. 这对夫妻最常造成冲突的原因就是两人对孩子教育的方式不同。或者是 since Eric got this job, he has become a frequent flyer to England. 自从 Eric 接受这份工作之后他变成常常飞英国的常客。Frequent 也可以当动词，意思是常去某处。例如 This cathedral is frequented by many tourists each day. 这个大教堂每天都有许多观光客来访。接下来我们看 scold 这个动词。Scold 是指责备或责骂。例如 Ricky got scolded by his teacher today because he was late to school again. Ricky 今天因为又迟到了被老师责备。或者是 Leah gently scolded her daughter because she didn't eat her breakfast.莉亚因为女儿没有吃早餐稍微责备了她一下。如果要说明为什么事情而责备可以用 for 这个这些词后面加上名词或动名词。例如 Melanie scolded her son for skipping school. Melanie 因为儿子翘课而责备她。
So Gabe, are you ready to talk more about rhetorical questions?
Why would you doubt that I'm ready?
Well, I'm not doubting, I'm just wondering, right? It's so fun asking questions. You really should practice asking questions with your friends. Actually, in general, I really do enjoy asking questions.
Well, that's the journalist in you, Rebecca.
That's right. When you ask questions, not rhetorical questions, just questions, you get to know people better.
That's true. You know, I also heard that if you are the one asking questions, then you appear to be an interesting person. Even though you're not the one sharing about your life, you're asking the questions, but the other person will think that you are interesting because you're asking good questions.
And so we want to challenge you to take some time and ask your friends a question that maybe you've never asked before. Well, anyway, back to our lesson about rhetorical questions. Yesterday we started learning about rhetorical questions, and today we're going to learn about another frequent use of a rhetorical question. And before we talk about that, let's talk about the phrase frequent use. What does frequent use mean? Well, this just means that something that is used a lot or done a lot.
That's right. So for example, let's talk about Facebook. A frequent use of Facebook is organizing events. However, sometimes I might just rephrase it. I might say frequently use. So for example, if I don't frequently use my scooter, it will be hard to start. I could say if my scooter doesn't have frequent use, it'll be hard to start. But we could change those words around. If I don't frequently use it, it will be hard to start.
Ah, that is very true. And it reminds me, if you don't frequently use your car, the battery actually might die.
Oh.
And then you have to figure out how to get it to start again.
Mm-hmm.
So, rhetorical questions, a frequent use of a rhetorical question. That actually reminds me of the question I asked earlier, and that is, what is a frequent use of a rhetorical question? Gabe, do you know what the answer is?
Rebecca, starting a sentence with a negative word to mean something positive is a frequent use. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. I can tell you've done your homework. Well done, Gabe. Yes, right here in our lesson it says you can start a sentence with a negative word and a question when you mean something positive. So you can say, for example, isn't this a wonderful day?
No.
Huh?
Oh, you're not expecting an answer.
No, this is a rhetorical question.
Right.
I'm telling you, isn't this a wonderful day?
That is true. Or we see this other question here. Wasn't that a fantastic concert?
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, I mean, I'm just expressing how I feel about the concert. I wasn't asking you, Rebecca.
Oh, right.
That was a rhetorical question.
Rhetorical question. Got it. Okay, so you mean the day is wonderful and the concert was fantastic. And our lesson specifies you don't expect anyone to answer you.
However, you can use rhetorical questions for different purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we read on here, parents also use them to scold their children. Oh, man, I hate getting scolded. Rebecca, were you scolded a lot as a kid?
Yes. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
My mom would scold me if I didn't put my book back in my room. She didn't like things to be lying around.
Well, you know what, Rebecca? I think it's a good idea to put something away or put it back where you found it.
Hey, I really like that phrase. That's something my mom would say. Rebecca, put it back where you found it. Put the books back where you found them. And when do you use this? Well, you can use this phrase when you want to tell somebody that after they finish using something, then they should return it to the place they found it.
That's right. It's a good rule to have, right? There are other rules like it. If you make a mess, clean it up. If you took it out, put it away, and of course, put it back where you found it. Now, we see this other rhetorical question here. What part of no don't you understand?
And when might you ask this question? Well, let's say that you told somebody not to do something, or you told them no, and they're arguing about why they should still be able to do it. You can ask, what part of no don't you understand? I told you no.
Exactly. So we could replace that word no with other words that you say. Usually it's a short response. What part of this don't you understand? For example, maybe the police is asking somebody about something and they say, I don't know. But the police keeps asking, no, don't you know? And you might say, well, what part of I don't know don't you understand? Why do you want more details? I really don't know.
So these are two great rhetorical questions that you can practice and master. But right now, it's time for us to go to the InfoCloud.
Hello, friends. You know, Ken, it has been ages since we last talked about interesting English terms on InfoCloud.
Well, I think you have given us a good start. You know, we will move mountains to talk about interesting English expressions, and today is no exception.
Today, we are going to talk about the practice of using hyperbole. Hyperboles are expressions we use to emphasize things with exaggeration.
When Carolyn says, it's been ages, she means a very long time. Ages, by definition, refers to an extended period of time, lifetimes even. But it hasn't been that long since we've talked about interesting English terms.
And we do work very hard to bring you interesting English expressions, but we don't have to move mountains. That is just a way of using over-exaggerated terms to make a point.
I think one of the most common examples of hyperbole is when we talk about things being heavier than we think they should be.
I know which one you are thinking about. I used to carry a ton of books with me everywhere I went when I was a student.
Here, it would be impossible for Carolyn to carry a ton, which is almost 1,000 kilos. But she means that she would carry a lot of books and that they were heavy to carry around.
Hyperbole is a fun way to stress a point or to creatively describe how something feels. But if you use it too often, it loses its effect a bit.
我们先来看 hyperbole, 这是修辞学的夸张法，指的其实就是夸张的词句，为的就是要强调某一件事。例如，我们常常会用 a ton, 一公吨来形容一个东西有多重。She carried a ton of books with her. 字面上是说她背着一公吨的书，这当然是不可能的事，但这是一个 hyperbole, 强调书很多很重。It's been ages since we saw each other. Age 有着世代的意思。Ages 复数字面上是好几个世代，好几辈子的时间，这当然也是个 hyperbole。它用来强调很久的时间。Move mountains, 移山通常也是一个 hyperbole, 表示竭尽所能去完成某一件事。这就是今天的 InfoCloud, 我们下次云端见。
Studio Classroom is on the air.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Studio Classroom. Isn't today the most wonderful day? Wasn't dinner last night delicious? Isn't ice cream the best dessert in the whole world? Okay, friends, I don't expect you to answer these questions because these are rhetorical questions. Now, a frequent use of a rhetorical question is to start out with a negative word to mean something positive, like, isn't it? Well, let's learn more about rhetorical questions now.
What kind of question is that? You don't just hear rhetorical questions in daily life. You also read them in literature. One of Shakespeare's most memorable lines is a rhetorical question. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Juliet in Romeo and Juliet. She doesn't want an answer to the question, what's in a name? She's making a point in reference to Romeo's name that names aren't important. Rhetorical questions make language more enjoyable, don't they?
OK, 继续我们看 reference 这个名词。Reference 在这里是指提及或论及。例如 in his speech, the speaker made several references to his professor at Oxford. 这位讲员在演讲中好几次提到他在牛津大学的教授。课文中的 in reference to someone 或者是 something 是指关于或有关某人或某事。例如 in reference to your request for a full refund, we will discuss it and reply to you ASAP.有关你提出要全额退费的这项要求，我们会讨论，并且尽快答复您。最后我们看 enjoyable 这个形容词，我们看到这个字里面有 enjoy, 享受这个动词。所以 enjoyable 是指有乐趣的或者是使人愉快的。例如 a good collection of songs makes the long drive to work much more enjoyable. 好歌集锦让长途驾车去上班的过程开心多了。或者是 We had an enjoyable evening by the lake last night. 我们昨晚在湖畔度过了美好的时光。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Now here is something interesting to remember.
You don't just hear rhetorical questions in daily life. You also read them in literature. Before we continue with the lesson, let's talk about a couple of things, starting with daily life. So what is daily life? Well, that's just your everyday life, the way you live every day.
That's right. So if you're going to talk to somebody about what your job is and maybe what your habits are, the routines that you do every day, you're talking about your daily life. And I think that what you do in your daily life is more important than the things that you do or say in front of a lot of people or in front of people that you're trying to impress.
And what do you mean by that, Gabe?
Well, I think that it's important to have integrity in your daily life. That means in private as well as public.
So in other words, it's equally important what you do in your private life when people can't see you or aren't watching you as what you do when people are watching you.
Exactly. So friends, talk about your daily life. What kinds of things do you do? What kind of routines do you have? Share about that in English.
Of course. Anyway, we see another word, literature, in the same sentence. You can actually read rhetorical questions in literature. And rhetorical questions, whether they're spoken or read, are a lot of fun. But what is literature, and what are we talking about? Literature is just, or refers to, written books, especially those that have lasting value, that have been around for a long time.
That's right. So maybe you have taken a literature class in school, and so you've had to read some famous books that were probably written several hundred years ago, right? That is literature. And sometimes, I don't know about you, Rebecca, when I was in university, people often shortened it. They abbreviated it to lit class, right?
Oh.
L-I-T.
Yes, yes, yes. We would ask, so, what are you reading in lit class? Or, when's your lit class? It was easier than saying literature class.
Exactly. But the idea is that you might see some rhetorical questions in literature, right? In fact, you've heard of Shakespeare. One of Shakespeare's most memorable lines is a rhetorical question.
Oh, hold on, Gabe. We're going to talk about that memorable line shortly, but first we want to talk about this very memorable word, which I'm sure after today you will not forget. It is the word memorable. If something is memorable, that means it's worth remembering.
Right. So perhaps you went on a trip. You went on a vacation somewhere with your family or your friends. I hope you didn't just stay inside the hotel room watching TV. That's not a very memorable experience. No, I hope you went out and did stuff that you don't normally do so that you could have a memorable time and have great memories.
Exactly. Okay, so back to Shakespeare.
Yes.
And back to this very memorable line, or one of his most memorable lines, and it is a rhetorical question. We see it in our lesson. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Oh, Rebecca, you said that so beautifully. You sounded just like Juliet from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, wow. That was definitely quite a compliment. A memorable one, if I could say so myself.
Right. And friends, if you're familiar with Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, this is the famous balcony scene, okay? So Juliet is on her balcony, and she's asking this question. She's thinking about Romeo, and she knows that he belongs to their family's enemy family, right? And so she says, what's in a name? Who cares if he's a Montague? I just love him so much. But what's in a name is a rhetorical question.
That's right. Why is it a rhetorical question? Well, our lesson says she doesn't want an answer to the question. What's in a name? She's making a point in reference to Romeo's name that names aren't important. Have you read Romeo and Juliet?
Well, I read Romeo and Juliet. I played Romeo's cousin Benvolio in our school play of Romeo and Juliet, and I really like this play.
Okay. Have you seen the movie?
There are many movies about Romeo and Juliet. I did like the one with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Is that the one you're talking about?
Ooh, actually, I've never seen that one.
I've
seen other versions of Romeo and Juliet, and I too have read the play several times.
Right.
I've never acted in it.
You know what? A lot of people say this English is really difficult to understand, the English in Shakespeare's plays, but it's actually considered modern English. We might call it early modern English.
Well, it's considered early modern English, meaning that the English is not typical English that we use today.
Exactly.
But it's easier to understand than other books that were written even earlier.
That's right. So that's Shakespeare, and that's Romeo and Juliet. What's in a name? That's the rhetorical question. We continue, we finish our lesson with this sentence, rhetorical questions make language more enjoyable, don't they?
Way to end on a question. Well, I think that review skits make our lessons extremely enjoyable, don't they?
They are, right? Enjoyable?
Where were you yesterday?
Oh, I forgot all about lunch. Oh, what is wrong with me?
Well...
Stop. You don't need to answer that. That's a rhetorical question.
A rhetorical question? What's that?
Well, it's a question that you don't need to answer. If I make a mistake and say, what's wrong with me, I'm not really expecting an answer from you.
What? Rhetorical questions? Questions with no answers? Are you crazy?
There! You just asked a rhetorical question.
I did?
Yes! Are you crazy? You think I'm crazy because I'm telling you that some questions don't need answers.
Oh, but I see what you mean. Now that's interesting, isn't it?
Now, sometimes you may be frustrated and say, oh, why is this happening to me?
Oh, but I don't have to answer.
No, you don't.
Hey, I like rhetorical questions.
Me too. They're a great way to express yourself.
And they don't need answers. I wish our teachers would give us tests with rhetorical questions.
Yes, then we wouldn't need to know the answers.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
So why not?
Oh, well... Oh.
Don't answer that.
I see what you did there.
Well, this has been a great lesson, hasn't it?
It has been so much fun. I am ready to
That was a rhetorical question.
Oh,
I was just expressing that I enjoyed the lesson.
Oh, right. It was a great lesson.
Right.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time right here on Studio Classroom. See you next time, right?
You can, you don't have to. A friend loves at all times. A friend helps at all times. A friend trusts at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. A friend gives at all times. A friend cares at all times. A friend endures at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.